Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Jay Tillman. Tillman discusses transplanting from New York City to Seattle, meeting his recording and touring partners, and the varying approaches he's used with previous recordings.
People that respond to just a CDR that's in a paper sleeve, I mean, that really shows a serious dedication to music and supporting artists.
After moving to Seattle, Jay Tillman quickly found like-minded community with Damien Jurado, Rocky Vadelato, and producer Eric Fisher. The former Saxon Shore drummer separated himself from his identity as a percussionist and began writing a slew of songs. Here's a snippet of Seven States Across from the 2006 release Long May You Run, Jay Tillman, out now on Keep Recordings. Jay Tillman's limited release of Long May You Run, Jay Tillman have sold out in mere weeks from their initial release. Jay Tillman and his Seattle comrades, Damien Jurado and Rocky Vadelato, will be beginning an American tour from late February to early April. I know that since you moved to Seattle, you've been doing a lot of writing. Were you writing to this extent when you were living in New York City?
Yeah, I was. I've always written a lot. There's about two albums worth of material that I recorded when I was in New York. At the time I was playing with Saxon Shore, and I was also I had this band called Stately that kind of like a low feel, and that album kind of got kicked around a little bit, and then I did an album's worth of solo stuff that's more along the lines of what I'm doing now. But I don't have too complex of an editing process for myself, so I just end up kind of writing a lot of material.
Yeah. For these last records, you've been working with Eric Fisher. How did you come across meeting with him?
I met Eric on a tour with Saxon Shore. We played a few shows with Damien and Rosie. And I met him through there a lot of mutual friends. When I moved here, I recorded a 4-song demo that ended up getting kicked around through just a lot of different people around here, and Damien got his hands on one, and I think he showed it to Eric, and so that's kind of how Eric learned who I was, and stuff like that. But we hung out on that tour, and then we ended up hanging out when we got back, and he asked me, we talked about the possibility of doing an album together, so that's kind of how we met. And I did a tour with Damien last fall, and so I still, guys are good friends and hang out with them quite a bit.
Yeah. How are you predicting this upcoming record will differ from I Will Return?
I think it's different in the way that the songs are a little more narrative. The songs on I Will Return are pretty narrative. They're all murder ballady. But the songs on this album are a little less era specific. I think that I will return kind of weaned a lot from a lot of the music that I listen to along the lines of like Pete Seeger and Doc Watson and all those kind of more traditional folk stuff. But it really is kind of split down the middle, where there are real specific narrative songs and then other songs that are lyrically a lot more abstract. And then there's just the whole difference of this album we recorded. Everything was just kind of done in one take, and there are mistakes left in, and it's all just me and a guitar. There's no other instrumentation or overdubs in there, so it's a much different feel. But it took a certain. I think part of the reason that it's taken so long for it to come out is because it's difficult to put something out there that's that vulnerable, because I can't really listen to it, but I've gotten people really seem to like it, people around here who have heard it and stuff, so it's just kind of a faith thing where it's like, some of my favorite albums are, just the really raw kind of field recording stuff, idea was to kind of go about it in that way and just do it and trust that people will like it for the reasons that I, didn't like it so much.
On the record, I Will Return, there's a lot of instruments that I think relate to this American roots music. Was there intention to create through instruments, that style?
Yeah. there are elements in there that are rootsy, like there's the banjo and stuff in there, but things like string arrangements are not really a calling card of traditional folk music. But that's something that I've always loved. Gunma's Nick Drake, first couple Nick Drake albums, there are big string arrangements everywhere, and I think he's been a big influence, or was a big influence of mine a few years ago, and I think that kind of came into play, but just creating an atmosphere, and I think the strings on that album really really led to that. And I also kind of wanted to make a conscious decision to not have any drums on the album. There's drums on like maybe six measures total of the whole album.
Wow.
Because a lot of people at that point kind of associated me as being a drummer from Saxon Shore, and that's something that I've always done, but I kind of made a conscious decision to get away from that a little bit.
Learn a lot on the tour with Damien and Richard Buckner?
I did. That tour really was huge for me. I had never really heard Richard Buckner before. I knew the name, but I tend not to listen to a whole lot of new singer-songwriters, but seriously, that was like a two-month tour, and every night of that tour, I watched Richard play, and he just blew my mind. I mean, his whole attitude is so he just doesn't give a shit about most of the things that people are in the music industry stress over, and that really like bleeds over into his music and his stage performance, and it did change the way. It did have an effect on the way that I write songs, and it encouraged me to start singing out a little more. I'm really was kind of still coming into myself vocally when I was recording that I Will Return album. I wasn't really quite comfortable with myself yet. But since that tour, I learned a lot about melody and presence and just, I learned a lot from those guys.
And on that tour, you're handing out CDRs. What impact do you predict the CDR disbursement will have for the future release?
I've been doing that for 3 or 4 years now, and it's amazing. I've just been blown away by the response that I've gotten from the CDR. On that tour, I charged for CDs, but I've never done that before. And just over the last year, I would send records out to people, and kids would send me checks in the mail for like $10, a week later, just to say that they really appreciate the music and they wanted to support me and stuff. So that was, that's not something that you really find that's great. And I know that those kids are gonna keep buying my records, and people that respond to just a CDR that's in a paper sleeve, that really shows a serious dedication to music and supporting artists, and not caring about whether or not it's on a cool label or what the artwork's like or anything like that. Just enjoying it for what it is. I'm actually gonna do another release with Keep Recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the I Will Return issue, and he's gonna do a limited release of Long May Run, which I'm really excited about because he puts a lot of TLC into his releases, which is cool. I love the idea of a limited release. And, it can be frustrating because I don't have any more copies of I Will Return, but he's gonna do a release of that album.
You record on your web as your website sites nearly nonstop. How do you approach session to session?
It's always really, really different. The record that I'm making right now is the first record I've ever done with a full band. The last record was just real haphazard, just whenever we had time to do it. I would just go down to Eric's basement and record onto one mic, and then I Will Return was really meticulous. We spent months and months trying to get everything just right and mixing it. This album is going to take, it'll probably be finished by March, probably, the springtime. But this one is the first time I've ever recorded my guitar and vocal tracks separately, and just really, really going for just getting everything perfect. So there are, certain elements that are left in just for, presence and all that stuff. But this one, we're really taking our time, and it's also the first album that's going to have, it'll have drums on just about every song, and bass and pedal steel and all that stuff. So it's a real full band kind of thing.
Watch my words at all. Can't stand against the draw. There is honey in the line. I can't slay. Now the home that we live in.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guest today, Jay Tillman, can be found on his website, jtillmanmusic.com. Music samples in the show are from his 2006 record, Long May You Run, Jay Tillman, available on Keep Recordings. For information on this release, visit keeprecordings.com. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit indieinterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in this production, send your thoughts to indieinterviews@indieinterviews.com. Thanks again, and see you next week. There's a way.